On the phone with me, someone from a show that's been described by the National Post as the funniest thing on Canadian television since Kids in the Hall. High praise. Aurora Brown, she's the co-creator, co-producer, co-writer, co-actor of Baroness Von Sketch Show. Aurora, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Good morning, Josh.
The first season is done. I did very well review-wise, ratings-wise, and it's been renewed. When do you get back to shooting a game?
Very soon we'll be going into production again to make more episodes. So we're just kind of getting all ready for that, and that should happen in the fall.
And how did the show initially come together? I know it's a very collaborative show. How did it all come together initially?
Carolyn Taylor and Jennifer Whalen and myself had all worked together in different capacities at Second City in Toronto. And, you know, so we all enjoyed working together. We all had been off, you know, doing our various careers. And then Carolyn Taylor was working on This Hour's 22 Minutes. And Meredith McNeil, who's a Canadian but who had been living in the UK and working in the UK, moved back home and got hired there. So they got to talking, and it was just kind of the right moment. They were like, let's try for an all-female sketch show. So we all got together and kind of hashed out what our vision for the show was, what we wanted to make, and we found a production company who was into it, and then made a little sizzle reel to show what we wanted to do, and we took it to the CBC, and they said that's actually exactly what we wanted to do, and that was a couple of years ago now, and so we went into production and made our little show, and then it came out to people, and people liked it, so it's been a really great ride.
And were there shows that you modeled it after as you were creating, were the shows you looked to for influence?
I would say definitely shows like Smack the Pony, which is a British sketch show, definitely an influence. Portlandia also, which was kind of, you know, it's more of a it's a sketch show, but it's more like a comedy of manners, and in the way that both of those are shot, we really enjoyed those kinds of shows. So it's kind of, you know, a grab bag of things. Of course, we all have a lot of influences, but I mean both of those as ones that we really enjoyed.
A lot of people would be most familiar with a viral video, the the naked locker room birthday.
It was, you know, more than we could have hoped for the response to it, because it was really literally, you know, putting ourselves in, like, here we are, here's our bodies, here's our humor. And the response that people had to it was incredible. It was amazing. And it really kind of put ourselves, I think, on the map as far as, like, something that people wanted to look at. It was funny, when we were putting it out there, we were a little bit nervous, going, like, oh, here we go. Like, you know, we're pixelated, but, you know, we're made to look as if we're naked. We're like, here, you know, I wonder, like, the comments about our bodies or our age. You know, the internet hasn't been super friendly to women in the last couple of years. But people just kind of blew right past that, and everybody just really identified with the phenomenon of people getting really comfy in locker rooms. And so it just helped connect us with so many people, and that was exactly what we wanted to do, and it did it more than we could ever hope for.
And I, speaking about the new locker room scene, basically, if people haven't seen it, it deals with a point in life where adults become less ashamed and of their bodies and lay the whole thing out there. And I think part of the nice thing about that sketch being the introduction is there may be some assumptions that, oh, it's a female comedy show, I'm not going to be able to relate. But the same thing happens in the male locker room, and it's a universal truth that as people get older, they have less S to give.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I think that's a universal thing. And I mean, if people wonder, you know, like, when people wonder, like, you know, oh, can I relate to a lot of, you know, to women being on screen? Like, I think that dudes would have the ability. I mean, women have been very able to enjoy art that men have made with only men on screen. And, you know, I'm sure that men will be able to, like, you know, we made it as funny and as intelligently as we could. And so I think that dudes will be able to relate to that as well as anybody can. Right. Because we're going for the truth in human interaction. And, yeah, of course, a lot of the stuff is based on our own experiences, and we're women, so we're going to show that. But I think when you make anything really truthful and really well, anybody can enjoy it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat this morning.
No problem.
I'll let you get back to your summer, your kid, your all those things. And we look forward to season 2 of the Baroness Von Sketch Show. Thanks, Aurora.
Thanks so much, Josh.
That is Aurora Brown. She is the co-creator, co-producer, co-writer, co-actor of the ensemble sketch series on CBC, Baroness Von Sketch Show. On the phone with us now from Tirana. She runs Friend of a Friend Matchmaking and is a frequent contributor to the Toronto Star, often focusing on dating issues. Sophie Papamarco, how are you?
Good. Hi, Josh.
How are you, Josh? Sophie and I go back. We've never dated, but we are longtime friends, and we stay in touch. And I'm always fascinated by her take on the dating world. Not so long ago, you wrote an article for the Toronto Star all about a partners, and this sort of fascinated me because it makes a lot of sense. Can you explain what a partners means?
Sure. So it's people who are committed to each other in a couple, but they live separately. And that's not even they live in separate cities, but they live in the same city or even in the same neighborhood, but keep separate homes.
Mm. And that makes sense because in my experience, and maybe it's just living in a house with parents who would sometimes bicker, sometimes, and also having lived with roommates over the years,
yeah,
being so close all the time often leads to stress and conflict. So it sort of makes sense to be apart and to take the time to do it. And this surprised me. According to the Stats Canada in your article here, it says close to 2 million Canadians were living apart together, LAT as they call it, in 2011. At what point does dating a person and living in your own places go to being a partner's living apart?
That's a good question. I think that stat was a little bit misleading the more I think about it, because some people are dating their partner for 6 months or a year or 2 years, and that's still an okay sort of like, we're together, but we're not quite ready to leap into living together. But then there are people who have been together for 10 years or 20 years who, you know, they have separate houses maybe, or they just live such different lifestyles. I've heard of a couple of people who, you know, one is a night owl and one is a morning person, and they would just disrupt each other's sleep patterns far too much to even be in the same place. So they do keep separate apartments.
It's not just young people either.
No. And in fact, I didn't tell you this anecdote when we were sort of pre-communicating, but when I was looking for an apartment maybe 10 years ago, I looked at this place in the Annex. It was an apartment building. The Annex is a neighborhood in Toronto, London. And I was looking at an apartment, and it had apparently just been vacated by an older woman, maybe in her 70s, because she'd passed away. And interestingly enough, right next door to the apartment, her husband had lived. And he was a smoker, and she wasn't a smoker. Mm. They're both in their 70s. They'd been married for 30 or 40 years. And they just lived in separate apartments that were just next door to each other for the entirety of their marriage. And they could just, you know, he said it was great. He could just wander over whenever he wanted. They would have dinner together. They would talk. And then they just go home to their separate places, just right next door. So that seemed to work really well for them.
Well, that's actually perfect because you don't have to even put a coat on or get in the car. You just go across the hall. It's almost like living in the same house, but with separate doors on your rooms. We are talking with Sophie Papamarco. She is a dating expert, writes for the Toronto Star, and runs a matchmaking service out of Toronto. And we're talking about people living apart. It's CJBK 1290, and it's 8:26. So I wonder, especially in a hot real estate market like Toronto, where rents are so high, if it's sometimes not economically feasible for two people to live apart. Because I know oftentimes couples will rush that decision to kind of move in together because they're paying separate rents and they're generally pretty high.
Yeah, I think it's probably less financially feasible these days than it was maybe 10 years ago. The couple that I interviewed for my column were living in Montreal, or continue to live in Montreal, where the rents are generally half of what we pay in Toronto. So it made financial sense for them, for the sort of peace of mind and the smoothness of their relationship. But in Toronto, when rents, you know, for a one-bedroom apartment is around $1,500, that's a lot for two people to carry.
No, I just eventually, if I'm in a coupleship, I like the idea of the partners, but a separate bathroom would be the main thing for me, just to sort of have my own little space. Or if I'm a very wealthy man, I win the lottery, maybe separate wings of a house. I mean, we can meet in the kitchen once in a while.
I personally like the idea of a separate bedroom because I'm a really light sleeper.
Yeah.
And then somebody kind of shuffles next to me, I'm awake for like 2 hours. So it would be really nice to have that privacy.
Yeah, I agree.